The Republican tax bill is now tax law after President Trump signed it into law today.
I was going to wait for a formal signing sometime in early January, but then I watched the news this morning and they were all saying, will he keep his promise? Will he sign it by Christmas? You were one. But will he sign it by Christmas? And I called downstairs. I said, get it ready. We have to sign it now.
And the president also tweeted this, at some point, and for the good of the country, I predict we will start working with the Democrats in a bipartisan fashion. Infrastructure would be a perfect place to start. After having foolishly spent $7 trillion in the Middle East, it is time to start rebuilding our country. Well, plenty to talk about with our Friday Politics Roundtable. Joining us this week, Tolu Olorunapa, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Hi, Tolu.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you.
Well, and great to be with you both. And we want to start with what the president seemed to be referring to in that sound that we heard. This idea that people were saying he wasn't going to sign it. It's been reported that if the president signed the tax cut bill before Christmas 2017, it could trigger automatic spending caps and cuts to programs like Medicare. So there was talk, Rick, if I got this right, of him signing the bill later.
He would much rather be Santa than the Grinch in this season of giving. And yes, if he had signed the bill in 2017 and they hadn't waived these automatic cuts as part of the spending deal that got approved overnight in the Senate, then the possibility was there that he would have had to have a whole bunch of budget cuts. So there was a procedural reason and maybe some good policy reasons. I don't think it's entirely accurate to say that it was only because of the press criticism, but I also think that played a factor in this president's mind for him to get this done before Christmas.
So he yelled downstairs, which is quite an image because I don't think of there being like four steps downstairs from his room. But to be clear, the temporary spending plan that Congress passed to avoid the government shutdown nullified those spending caps so he could sign, which he did.
Tolu, what about the idea of President Trump working with the Democrats next year? Do you see that happening?
Well, right now, it does not appear that the president has done very much to, you know, extend that olive branch to Democrats. Democrats, even the ones that are up in the Senate next year who are running in states where Trump won their states and probably have some incentive to work with him and at least not be seen as part of the resistance for their own political objectives, they have, for the most part, not felt that the president is reaching out to them. The president has been very polarizing. His approval ratings are very low among Democrats, but also just sort of low across the board. But if he's going to get anything done next year, which is an election year, it's already going to be difficult to get anything done. He's going to have to reach across the aisle. Especially in the Senate, they saw their majority shrink to 51-49, and right. You need 60 votes to do anything major in the Senate. So he's going to have to reach across the aisle, but he hasn't shown really the ability to do that thus far.
Well, you mentioned 51-49. You're talking about the election of Doug Jones, the Democrat in Alabama. And I wonder, Rick, as you look at the last couple of weeks and we see this huge defeat for President Trump and the Republicans when Roy Moore lost in Alabama, but at the same time, this huge victory with tax cuts.
Yeah, and this president understands marketing. And I think winning begets winning in President Trump's mind. And I think that's why he's trumpeting this accomplishment as part of what he says is a historic season of accomplishments. He's calling it already the biggest tax cut in American history. We know that's not the case. He's talking about how Democrats have buyer's remorse. We haven't heard that from Democrats. So much of it is in the marketing. And I thought it was telling today for him to say that I'm actually not going to have to sell it. It's going to sell itself. That is quite the gamble when you realize how unpopular this bill is and the sprawling impact it's going to have across the economy, the healthcare system, the energy sector, and beyond next year.
You know, Rick, I just want to ask you, and Tolu, you can jump in as well. Why do you think this tax cut plan is so unpopular, despite all the language around it from the Republicans that it is going to put more money in the pockets of more Americans? Why?
Because it is the Trump plan. I think it tracks his approval ratings. And if his numbers go up, maybe the suggestions around this. But people are not willing to believe the assurances of Republicans. The party has a very poor name ID approval right now. And the president himself is deeply unpopular. So I think a tax bill associated with him is going to be proportionately unpopular.
Mm-hmm. And one other aspect is people have been watching this process. And at the beginning, this bill was it included a number of provisions that would have hit a number of vulnerable populations. In addition to getting rid of the individual mandate, they were going to get rid of expensing and deductions for people who have really high medical costs. They were going to really increase taxes on graduate students. They were going to take away all of the state and local tax deductions. So they sort of massaged the bill a little bit during the process to make it less impactful in a negative way for a number of people. And I don't think all of that messaging has gotten across in this very rushed process. And people haven't really figured out that a lot of the things that they hated about the bill were stripped out. And then secondly, I mean, one thing that was kept in is the idea that a lot of the benefits of this bill are going to the uber wealthy, people
right.
who are, you know, owning corporations and pass through businesses. And I think the fairness aspect is part of what's factoring into the unpopularity.
Well,
of this.
And it is, as we know, going to add maybe more than $1 trillion to the national debt. And I want to listen to Rand Paul, the Republican senator who voted for this plan, talking yesterday.
Is it any surprise that the debt continues to rise? No, because both parties are responsible for it. Look, I was all for the tax cut. I think it's good for the country. But I'm also for restraining spending.
Rick, what do you make of this? Not just Rand Paul. A lot of Republicans who have been talking about how terrible deficits are for so long, and then they vote for this tax plan, and now they want to cut spending.
Well, it's an obvious point to make that you're for it until you're suddenly – it doesn't seem politically convenient any longer. And I think it's – look, this is an argument that Democrats are going to take back to voters and say that they're being hypocritical about this. I think it gets back to the point about it's being so much easier politically to give than to take. And when you get down to it and you have to get to actual programmatic cuts, it's very difficult. Meanwhile, handing out a big tax cut, I do think it's telling that they waived those budget rules right at the end of the year to try to make this happen. I'm also struck by how many tough choices are going to confront them. It's not just the deficit and the debt, but children's health insurance and the status of the Dreamers. So many of these things are going to come crashing back in the first couple months of 2018.
Well, Tolu, what about social programs? Because I remember weeks ago we were hearing that there was speculation that the Republicans were happy to blow up the debt and the deficit with the tax bill because they are all for rolling back other programs. And there was a lot of, you know, a lot of analysts saying, no, that's not true. That's not happening. And now you have Paul Ryan talking openly about wanting to next change Medicare and other social programs.
Yes, this is the next big thing on Paul Ryan's agenda. The House Speaker wants to really revolutionize the way that these social programs work and cut them back significantly in order to sort of scale back the size of the national debt. Now, President Trump has said that he campaigned on not wanting to change Medicare and not wanting to roll back Social Security. And it's really a non-starter in the Senate where you do have that very slim majority. No Democrat wants to go into 2018 saying that I cut Social Security or Medicare. So you did hear Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, sort of shy away from this idea that entitlement reform was going to be right. a big part of the 2018 agenda, even though that's something that Paul Ryan wants. So it doesn't appear that, you know, aside from welfare reform, which may get some sort of movement next year, that major changes to Social Security and Medicare will happen before the midterms.
We had another one of these moments this week where there was a cabinet meeting and the members of the cabinet, including the Vice President Mike Pence, just praised President Trump in a way that you really just you don't see that very often. But let's take a listen.
Thank you for seeing through the course of this year an agenda that truly is restoring this country. You said we could make this economy great again. And you promised to roll back regulations. And you signed.
And I just, I'm deeply humbled as your vice president to be able to be here. But mostly, Mr. President, I'll end where I began. I want to thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank you for...
It goes on.
3 minutes.
And by the way, that is a montage. That's not exactly how that happened, but it went on for 3 minutes. Rick, what do you make of that?
And it's not just Mike Pence. You heard it from Mitch McConnell. You heard it from Paul Ryan, Orrin Hatch. They talked about his exquisite and incredible presidential leadership. The superlatives, it's like Trumpism has infected the entire Republican Party. They understand how to get through to this president. And I think so much of that messaging is about getting in the president's own ear. He loves hearing those sort of things. He loves those superlatives. He loves the congratulations. And I do think it's telling when you have these moments and people that clashed with him over time, like a Mitch McConnell or a Paul Ryan, are out there talking about how wonderful his leadership is. They're trying to trumpet himself up because they realize that he is a better president from their perspective when he feels better about his leadership.
Well, could it be, too, that they're responding to some of the recent reporting stories today about a heated meeting at the White House on Wednesday of Trump's political team, former Trump campaign manager, now commentator Corey Lewandowski, dressing down the president's political operation and leaders at the Republican National Committee. You've got Trump former chief strategist Steve Bannon speaking to Vanity Fair, saying the president has lost a step.
Yeah, they need. They should be worried about him politically, about his political standing. The midterm year does look grim right now, and there's a lot of dissension in the ranks about how to handle that.
I'm just wondering if Tolu, if they're trying to raise his spirits.
Well, his poll numbers are not going to raise his spirits, so they are trying to make sure that he's happy. And, you know, when the president is angry, we've seen him lash out. We've seen him lash out after Charlottesville. We've seen him take on the Republican establishment and tweet things that really drive the news cycle. So they don't want that kind of divisiveness going into 2018. So if it takes, you know, some over the top praising and fawning over the president to keep him sort of in a good mood and not doing anything that's rash and could hurt their political prospects, yeah. I think that's a calculation that they're making.
That's Tolu Olorunipa, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. We've also been speaking with Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. Thanks to both of you. Merry Christmas.
Merry
Happy
Christmas.
Holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you.